second hour of the Barton Report. PJ Barton is my name, and we are the Barton Report, and we're talking to Tom DeWeese of the American Policy Center, and we're moving pretty fast. And the list here, you and I exchanged information today, and I got as far as 32. You or I could have went to 100 bullet points on all this, but one of the other weapons, yours truly here, they're sick of me talking about RBN. I have to stop talking about it. I'm about to publish on the Cashless Society a book. That's not the title, but it's close to that. The threat of being a digital cashless economy, that's another threat to us on a shocking. That's a gun pointed right at our head.
Oh, without question. Everything is digital, and your bank accounts are digital, and all they have to do is press a button and it disappears. And
yeah, you can be wiped out at the stroke of the keyboard. That's
absolutely
how that's coming to be.
Yeah, and the other thing to be done with that is, when all of your information, everything, is in a computer file, then somebody else can place things in there. You could be driving down the street and get pulled over for speeding, and the cop gets on his computer in his car, and he finds out that there is a warrant out for you. Even if there isn't one, suddenly you can lose everything. You can lose your job. You can lose everything. You can lose all of your money, all control of your money. And this is frightening stuff. Everything being there without anything in your hands is real.
Oh yeah, and if you find out, for instance, that you've a membership of the NRA or something even more innocuous, it's the fascist police state. Anybody who is a conservative is a threat. A conservative, a Christian. Oh, you must be a fundamentalist, or you're a Ron Paul supporter, or et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. This goes back to the Southern Poverty Law Center thing we were talking about before. I was one of the things I want to mention on that. What's starting to happen is organizations like mine, spokesmen, people like me who go out and speak, are starting to have things like Discover Card has withdrawn one organization I know of that they can't use it anymore to collect money for fundraising. They can't use Discover Card. Why? Because Discover Card looked on the Southern Poverty Center Law Center's hate list and saw this guy on it and said, oh, you're a hate group. We're not going to deal with you anymore. PayPal has done the same thing. QuickBooks
has done
the same thing.
They're right in the center of this as well. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then you've got the censorship from Facebook and Google. Google won't, you put in to go to a certain website, and they won't take you there. And anybody who's on Facebook, I read all day long about people talking about having their posts censored or removed. And, so it doesn't hold up to community standards. I love that line. So, yeah, this is what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
They are systematically wiping us out in this way, or can. And it's just beginning. It's just starting. They're going to make it so we can't get on airplanes. They're going to make it so we can't have public assemblies. And our right to speak out will be absolutely wiped out, all because of this digital world. And, they control it all. Yeah, and cashless society is a major part of that.
Yeah. One person, I know he's a very controversial character, but he's involved in all sorts of things. But he tells the truth. John McAfee of McAfee Software. He is an outstanding guy, and look at his interviews on YouTube. I saw your interview with the John Birch Society, which is very good, but at least it's still up on YouTube. But he has an app coming out, an app that checks apps that are full of virus, but that you're not haven't got any hidden viruses on your phone or computer. But he's bringing out an app to fight the algorithms of Google, and he reckons it's unbreakable. We have a gentleman called Mike Rivero, who's a key broadcaster on RBN. He's ex-NASA. And he writes encryption, and he used to be an imaging expert in NASA, and he is outstanding on tech, et cetera, et cetera. I'll talk to you about him. In fact, I'm sure he'd like to speak to you. But how are you finding it as you go about the country now? You're moving around the country visiting and lecturing and things. Say, in 2017 as opposed to 5 years ago, is it any easier or more difficult to get this across to people?
It's actually easier because more and more people are feeling it. And we've been able to get those tinfoil hats off our head. All I have to do is show, here it is. So what I'm finding and very encouraging is elected officials are starting to finally come up, and I've gotten calls more often than before, and they're coming. When I was out in Idaho a couple weeks ago, one meeting that I was speaking to had the mayor of the city, it had several city council and county commissioner members, it had a state senator, and you know, people like that in the audience. So that's the first, you know, that kind of thing happening.
That's good. Well, that would give you a great heart to continue. But again, the mountain is still bigger to climb because of Google, Facebook, and this schmuck Zuckerberger. Like, to think that two of the biggest jokes in the history of all this is that Sergey Brin and what do you call him started Google in their garage, set up by the CIA and Mossad. These interlinked two organizations, and Zuckerberg is supposed to be going on a tour, a world tour, an American tour. They reckon he's going to run for president, and this obnoxious creature is vile. And the power that he wields is unbelievable. It's shocking. And young people are terribly enamored with this person. Look at the power and the money and the billions he's worth. And, you know, it's so... There are teenagers and people in puberty out there in the most vulnerable mental state. And he is like the Pied Piper of Hamelin, manipulating them. It's just shocking.
But you know what? This brings up a good point, I think. I like to think that our side in these positions are smarter. How is it that we are manipulated by these people, that we are controlled, that we are put out of business, we are, you know, that they control everything? We're the ones who believe in free enterprise. We're the ones who believe in you know, being able to create new things and move forward and compete and that sort of thing. And why are we just sitting by and letting them control all this stuff? Everybody who does this is massively leftist.
Yeah, there is, that is true, but the biggest bloc who are the biggest problem, set far with them, is the useful idiots who believe them.
Yep.
And that's the biggest problem. Again, we have three blocs: the actual perpetrators of Agenda 21, the media walking in lockstep with them, and then the social media, and then the useful idiots. Like, it's four out of five against us all the way. It's shocking.
Yep.
Never
no question.
History, man.
And I think the greatest danger... you know, in putting all this together, is the education system. This is where we really need to focus on getting control of what's going on there, these indoctrination centers we call public schools. And, you know, and this is probably the one place that I am most disappointed with Donald Trump's efforts. I think Betsy DeVos is the worst appointment possible that he made in the Department of Education. And nothing
even
has
I can
changed.
See that from here, from the UK, even though I live in the States and Canada well. But I can see that from here too. But no, he is so gullible. Because, but yeah, when you think of his life, he's trying to understand it. But he's lived in the glass bubble of wealth all his life, and lives around New York. I mean, that is a glass bubble.
Yeah.
Again, half the people he appointed, he'll have to start firing if he does survive. But there's those who say he's basically a prisoner of the deep state, et cetera, and that is fairly true. But the appointment of Sessions, what a catastrophic error to appoint Jeff Sessions. Shocking. Shocking beyond words.
Apparently, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think he's done an outstanding job, Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Everything he had to work with and all that's against him, but these certain appointments... really, when he was talking about Betsy DeVos, I thought at the time, no, this is not who you want in there. And she's done absolutely nothing to roll back any of this stuff, and it's just getting worse.
Amway people, Jeff DeVos and Jay Van Andel, they started up the pyramid-selling thing called Amway. I'm very aware of that.
Sure,
I'm this leads into so many areas. You know, the social media and the size of this problem is gargantuan. When you explain to people the Agenda 21 and the size of the massive giant of the people on the side of this Agenda 21 because of commercial interests, that alone should scare the hell out of them and make them put some time and effort into this. I was in party politics for years in Ireland. And in the UK here, keep the pound, and I mean, three patriot movements: to keep the pound, get Britain out of the EU, and I come to Brexit later on in the program. But the patriot movement for 17 years in America, where I used to be ringing up annoying John Stadtmuller, and about different things. But I understand it totally, having lived there. But go back to the education system, the Common Core, you know, that one. Common Core is a shocking attack on the young people's young brains. It really is.
Well, it is, and the, you know, they're attacking the ability to think, and it's interesting. I just posted on my Facebook page an article by a law professor in a college talking about these kids coming into law school. Now, here are the, you know, to become the lawyers of the future. These are the ones who are going to be the defenders of the of justice, and they have no concept of what that is, and they have no ability to accept ideas that are contrary to what they have been indoctrinated to believe. And he has set up this class and saying, you're not going to do this anymore. We're going to talk both sides. We're going to talk reason. You know, and what he set up in the classroom was, if you start out a sentence saying, I feel this should be this way, he says, for the next rest of the class, you're going to have to sit there and cluck like a chicken. So he's trying to turn around their disinformation and get them to think. And, you know, so this is a beginning. It's something.
One of the things I pointed out, because I was a minor press officer in politics in Ireland, but in 1979, and I was with a candidate, we were doing TV interviews and that kind of stuff, and Orla Gern, she's a reporter of the BBC, she's from Ireland, but she was sitting in the car with us one day, and we're driving around, it was the first European elections in Ireland, God forgive me for getting involved in them, but I did at the time, I was heavily involved in politics, and she was saying about the stuff she was sending to America from RTE, Radio Television, and that's the national broadcaster in Ireland, not the BBC, which is in Britain, and she said they wanted 90-second reports, and she couldn't believe it, and what of that, what the word that had crept into the lexicon of public journalism then for the first time in 1979 was soundbite broadcasting. And since then, I've got to know where it came from. It didn't come from the media. It didn't come from the advertising industry. It didn't come from Hollywood. It came from the Pentagon during the Cold War. And what it does is, I've mentioned this many times before in this program, it's very effective. It implants exactly what's been said in your mind, but it convinces your subconscious mind, you know how important the subconscious mind is, that you've reasoned out and they're your opinions. It's you don't fight it, you use it yourself when you're talking with people. You've got to talk in bullet points all the time to people.
Oh, yeah.
But soundbite broadcasting is about brainwashing. Very powerful.
Absolutely, yeah. You can't say any. Well, here's what happens. You know, when you get in a debate with the left, they will come out and say, they'll put out some horrible situation of people suffering, and they'll say, somebody has to do something. And everybody goes, yes, we do. The conservative is sitting there saying, but economically, you see, this won't work because the fallacy of this is, you know, and the next thing, we've turned everybody off, everybody's gone to sleep. You know, we're talking philosophy and economics, and they're talking, somebody has to do something. It's all emotional, and you know, and of course, it's total crap you know, when they do it.
That's what we're up against. The left pious mantra. I mean, again, the redefining of words. Liberal means enlightened in their view. Mm-hmm. Because they're liberal, they think they're more enlightened than us. We conservatives are ignorant. You know, they honestly believe that, and that's the biggest one to crack with them. And I'm sure you have many examples at meetings you could give. Go ahead and give them. And their other mantra is that because they feel pain more than we do, the I Feel Your Pain Brigade, which are the people I'd really like to get a baseball bat to, you know, they feel more than us. They're the most ignorant people on the planet. And again, they're suburban, what I call the London Wine Bar Brigade. They lived in suburbia, be it New York or London, wherever they are, and their opinions are like pick and mix sweets in the supermarket. They pick them to match their, almost the color of their clothing, you know. They're so stupid. But, I have to be careful. I've never, as Tom Jones, I have never sworn on radio, but I'm pretty foul-mouthed in normal life. But I fancy myself as a caption writer. I never got paid for doing it. But vicious, virulent, but accurate underwriting of thing. And there's a photograph on RBN. Go onto the site this evening and look at it. It's a photograph of the year. Hillary Clinton with two people, and your jaw will drop. It says everything. Go onto RBN's home site this evening, republicbroadcasting.org. And it's a cracking photograph. I won't say what it is. You'll see what it is. But No, they're attacking everything, including the gentleman I was communicating with today. We have many broadcasts in RBN, but one outstanding guy, he's recovering from a serious illness, is Vincent Fanelli. He's over there, a farmer in Missouri, Lebanon, Missouri, but his illness was from, I won't go into the details, from chemtrails and related matters to do that. It nearly killed him. And a C-130 sprayed his farm with terrible stuff. And Mike Adams of Natural News knew about this around the country, and he got the only laboratory in America which analyzed this stuff. No laboratory would touch it, and it was shocking what they were spraying. But Vincent is a prepper, right? USA Prepares is the name of his program on GCN, and it's carried also on RBN. But he, as a prepper, has come up against all this bureaucracy, full bore, localized, Agenda 21, attacking farming, and water rights on the whole nine yards. You may be enlisting today, and do phone in, Vincent, if you want to add anything to this. But you'll come across him at some stage. But give us an example of. So you must have had a lot of wins against speaking to surrounded by the enemy at meetings. Give an example of some of the most extreme meetings you've been at. That must be pretty good.
Well, I don't know. I just did the meeting in Idaho, and I did a series of them. And in one of the towns, Rexburg, Idaho, a reporter there did two articles, and there was another reporter did a third, attacking what I said as, you know, being a nutcase and all that. Never once came up and asked me a question, never interviewed me. Just he already had the article written before he got there. And, left out 90% of what I said. And this is pretty typical. And, when I testified before this, hearing in Maine at this committee there, I mean, I spent 45 minutes showing them, holding up documents, you know, all this. And when I get all the way done, one of the members of the committee said, "Well, this conspiracy theory that you're throwing at us here," it's like, what does it take? You know, it's just, you keep putting these things out. What I'm appalled about is there is a segment in this country that live completely different from the rest of the country. You know, most people, you know, at least up till now, have been able to go to school and put a family together and build a life of their own and a career of their own and so forth. But you have this segment of people who are absolutely trapped in government programs, and there's no way out. And these smart growth programs that are part of Agenda 21 Sustainable Development are throwing these people into those programs.
Well, hang on to that, and I'll give an example in Clark County again. We're coming up for the first break of the second hour, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, coming back in from the first break, this is the Barton Report, and we're talking to Tom DeWeese of the American Policy Center, talking about journalists there. There's so few investigative journalists left, because most of them would be fired because of who they're working for, and the bulk of journalists write to order. They're bought and paid for pimps, but I'm sure you've made alliances with some good journalists over the years.
Yeah, I have, but very few. Really has been very few that that you know will talk to us and be honest about it, and you know the publications that will print what we say and so forth are getting fewer and farther between. Probably the leading one that we can lean on is the Washington Times newspaper, and of course you know Fox News. I've been on Sean Hannity's show. I've been on Fox News a couple times. And looking forward to get on some more, and you know, so I think there's a break there where there are some new outlets that are beginning to open up, and so yeah. I'm kind of encouraged.
One of the
that.
Ones that was mentioned to me. Look, click it here. This OAN, One American News Network. I'm being told that.
Yeah.
I've only come across this week. Okay, that's good. The website is fairly tame, but I just knocked off my Skype. I'm off Skype because I was attacked by, I had a thing called a Red Hat attack on, wiped me off Skype permanently. I have the SMS working. I'm able to communicate with the board up, Ken.
Oh.
But I'll just put it back on. Yeah, One American News Network, that's one. But there's so few, it's shocking. But some of the broadcasters there, like Tucker Carlson, he's open to a lot of information.
Yeah.
It's a full-time job to try and make alliances with these people, and some of them are almost behind a firewall, you know.
Back in April, I was invited to New York City to participate in a special program where I was allowed to, for 3 days, pitch media, major media representatives, producers, things like that. It was like speed dating. We got like 3 minutes to stand there and give them our pitch and then go on to the next one. And I did that, and I got very good response from a lot of them. And I'll give you a quick example. One of the people I was pitching was a radio host. He was black, from CBS Radio New York. Didn't get much more liberal than that. And we were standing in this big ballroom. This is where it was taking place, right across from Madison Square Garden. And there were these big windows that went from floor to ceiling looking out onto the city of New York and Manhattan. And I'm talking to him about property rights. And I stopped and I said, look out that window. And he turns around and looks out and I said, you see out there, all those buildings, there are people paying mortgages, there are people paying taxes on all those buildings. But in every single, as far as your eye can see, there is not a single private property right. Decisions about all those properties are made by somebody else behind closed doors. There's no property rights as far as your eyes can see. He turned around with a grin on his face, says, "We got to get you on." So, you know, this is the kind of response I've been getting, and we're ready to really. I'm working on a new book. I'm 6 months behind on. I hope to have it done by the end of December. The title will be Sustainable: The War on Free Enterprise, Private Property, and Individuals.
Very good. Very good.
And it tells the whole story, and the bottom line are solutions. I started to talk about these people who live in the inner cities, that these smart growth programs are bulldozing ethnic neighborhoods, low-income neighborhoods. These are places where people do own property, where people own mom-and-pop shops, little private businesses and stuff. They come in with the bulldozers, knock all that down, and then they bring in expensive high-rise condos that corporations own, and they bring in other corporations to replace what were once mom-and-pop shops. What happens to the people who used to live there? They now are put on government programs, told, hey, here's how much money you're going to have, and here's where you're going to live. Is there any question why we have angry people? They have no hope. Sure. They have no hope for a life of their own. And what one of the things we're going to be working on, we're putting together a network of people, including some civil rights groups and some others, and we're going to really try to focus on not government programs. We want government to roll back. I've been trying to get a meeting with Ben Carson at HUD to help do this because he said the same things I'm saying. And, you know, roll back government regulations and allow free enterprise and free property rights and so forth to emerge and let these people build a life of their own. And that's one of the, you know, so we're taking a new tactic here of instead of just fighting everything that happens, let's start putting some positive programs together. We're going to start working with, there are small business organizations that want to promote small business, that sort of thing. Try to bring them all together and get at least a discussion going on this in a new direction.
Yeah, very good. Excellent. I'll ask you about the books now a second. How many people work with you in doing this? No doubt you're a small team, yeah?
Well, the American Policy Center is very small. There are about six of us. We don't have a central office. We all work on our own, and I've got people in four states. But we're starting to grow and getting more people
on
board.
Very good. Okay, we're into the last 20-minute run now, and then a 5-3-minute run. But hang on there, and we'll continue this after the break, okay?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, and we're coming in from the bottom of the hour break, and I meant to say to you, Tom, in your operations generally, if you have anything, any major development and good, bad, or indifferent in your operations, phone into this program on RBN or on any of the major programs, John Stapler, and I'll put you on, and we'll cover it, okay? Is that fair?
Excellent. Yeah, sure. By the way, you asked me about interesting, you know, speeches and you know, reactions I've gotten and so forth. I forgot the most important one. 2006, I was invited to debate the United Nations issue before the Cambridge Union at Cambridge University. And then, I was,
I dare say you met some very pretentious brats there, yeah?
Well, let me tell you, it was a 200-year-old debating society, and it was a 5-to-1 debate. It was supposed to be 3-to-3, but the two people on my side, I don't know where they got them, but they had nothing to do with my side. But this included, I was debating Lord David Hanney, who was the former UK ambassador to the UN, Simon Hughes, the head of the Liberal Party.
Liberal-lefty parliament. Liberal-lefty,
And Salih Shetty, who was the head of the UN Millennium Project. So this is who I was debating, and Simon Hughes got right into my face, because my entire presentation had been that every program coming out of the United Nations was based on a redistribution of wealth. And he got right in my face and said, "I believe in redistribution of the wealth." And I said, "Who, yours or theirs?" Pointing to the crowd.
That's right. Yeah. Like Margaret Thatcher said about that, the problem with socialism, you eventually run out of other people's money,
yeah, right. My closing line in my opening statement was, "The United Nations is not dysfunctional, as some reformists have claimed. It is a criminal enterprise in which no moral nation should ever participate, let alone perpetuate."
Very
what kind of
Very
applause
good.
I got for that.
Oh, Oh, these poor people were terribly hurt and bruised. They'll probably have to go away for counselling after that meeting.
Yeah, right.
And, Cambridge, the equivalent of that is the Oxford Union. You know, Oxford and Cambridge are two prestigious universities in Britain. But what else came out of that, yeah?
The interesting thing that came out of it was after the debate was over, they had a reception. I was the only speaker who stayed. And I'm standing there, and this young lady, this Cambridge student, bright young lady, comes up to me and says, "Can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Sure." She said, "You really don't believe in redistribution of the wealth?" And I said, "No, it's theft." And she said, "But if somebody has more than they need, shouldn't they give it to others to share with them?" And I said, "Why should they?" And then I started to talk about, you know, the mere fact that you're taking it from this person to give to that person, tomorrow they need some more, tomorrow they need some more, pretty soon they've taken enough from you that you're now in need of all that. And I began to talk about free enterprise and that kind of thing. And as I get through, pretty soon I got 50 people standing around listening to what I'm saying. And when I got done, she said, "What an interesting point of view. Where can I learn more?" You know, and I wanted to say economics 101.
Yeah. Because she was too young and not your age and my age, what she didn't understand in a proper economy, and I remember too, and not looking back through rose-tinted glasses, 1968 was a golden era in Ireland and Britain. The rising tide of a normal economy was lifting all boats. Now, they don't understand what that really means. In a proper economy without monopolies and true free enterprise, the rising tide will lift everybody. Now, that's something they do not understand.
Well, they call that trickle-down and the stain.
Yeah, yeah. Well, trickle-down is rubbish because the multinationals don't let anything trickle down. The other insidious attack we have here, we have a very strong minimum wage here, and then the living wage in London, which is nearly 9-10 quid now, but we have this insidious practice by multinationals called zero-hours contracts, right, which is a way of undermining the minimum wage, meaning you sign on, you might get 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, or none hours, and go home if there's no work for you. And it's announced, if the trade unions are any good, they should have got rid of it. But the other thing is, we have this like this Uber taxi thing, you know, this Uber,
sure.
Which is an app, which is London has the best taxis in the world. I'm sure you've been in London. The black taxis, they're outstanding, and the guys are highly trained. They do a hell of an apprenticeship, and they're very reliable. And it's a very safe place to travel around in black taxis. But this Uber thing of 40,000 drivers, most of them immigrants, and I'd say a lot of them are illegal as well. But they've now lost a lawsuit where a driver took a case against Uber that they weren't paying any benefits and that they were not self-employed, they were full-time employees. And they've lost, in fairness to the mayor of London, who is Sadiq Khan, Muslim guy, left-wing Labour mayor, like Ken Livingstone was, Transport for London, which he controls, has threatened to remove their license. But that major row is going on here as well.
Sure.
The economics of all this is it affects everything, and it's like another thing. And again, go back to the Bundys and everything. You and I, if we were up on a charge, a trumped up charge, like we have one, our broadcasters. I'm like a very trumped up on constructive possession, which is a joke. It has no status in law. He's been a year illegally in custody. But the American legal system is based on entrapment and plea bargaining, and there's been no law reform on it for 50, 100 years. Would you agree?
It's getting worse and worse, yeah. I mean, the case with the Bundys, I mean, this is the most egregious example of the judicial system completely lost. It is completely against American law that the, they've been retained or detained in jail as they have been, denied all of their rights, denied their ability to have the attorneys that they want, denied the right, as it says in the Constitution, for a speedy trial. All of that's been denied. They have been tortured in their jail cells and, physical abuse and so forth. It's just, this is America, but this is what totalitarian states do. And this is a prime example of how totalitarian we've become, in that this has been allowed. And as you mentioned, Jeff Sessions should have been his first day he should have been there releasing these guys and give them back their American rights.
That's right. And the journalists and the local media who don't cover this are as guilty as the people who are detaining them by not
reporting. They don't even talk about it. All they say in the media about the Bundys is a bunch of radicals took over a national park, and they need to be punished for that.
Well, the joke of it is 50% of the people there at Now Transpire were FBI agents. How about that?
Yeah.
We know about this. We have comprehensive knowledge of it. People other than me and RVN. But the other thing is, which encircles all of us, I've been saying for two years this week on this air, spieling on, we're living under multi-layered criminal syndicates. There's many descriptions of it, but it's multi-layered criminal syndicates. And all the government agencies, by the way, are Dun & Bradstreet incorporated corporations. Most people don't know that. Deborah Taveras, I was trying to write down the name here. She is a fantastic woman in California. She and Judge Dale are exposing this. She's been out of circulation this last year. But Deborah Taveras, that's a key name. She is somebody you've got to contact and have an alliance with. She has been exposing this in extremely good detail of how these corporations, and I mentioned the CDC owning patents with the pharmaceutical industry. I mean, it's outrageous. And directors of Monsanto going in and out of the Drugs Administration, the Federal Drugs Administration, what do you call it? But tell us about, in the time left, only 20 minutes left or less, your two books, which are called I Told You, Tell Me I Was Wrong, and Erase. Give us a run through Tell Me I Was Wrong.
Well, Tell Me I Was Wrong came out in 2011, and it is a collection of articles that I wrote over about a 15-year period on the issues of the UN and environmental movement and education and personal privacy and private property rights and immigration and educate, all that stuff. And it's, you know, people say, why is there a Tea Party movement? So in my book, I talk about the policies that were being put in place then. I name names, people who were behind them and stuff. And then people started to feel the effects of these things. When I wrote the articles, people, you know, were saying, oh, come on, that's not true, this isn't going to happen, whatever. Then I started seeing editorials and so forth. It looked like I wrote them. That's where the title came from. Now Tell Me I Was Wrong, you know, because people were starting to feel it.
Very good. It's a very good title. That's a brilliant title. And saying, in that kind of a book, you can say, this is what the sustainability of one. I did a thing on sustainable reading it out here on this program, a reasonable job about 6 months ago. I also read out the criminal, a fantastic guy called, I hope to have him on sometime, Dr. Peter Gotchi, a Danish doctor who works for Pharma as well, is blowing the whistle on them. And one of the two books he's brought out, and a thing close to my heart, I still haven't done it, so I'm about to start it one of these hours to do. I've, another part of my life, I've been helping people with depression and mental illness over the years. I've never had it myself. But the destructive nature of SSRIs. But he exposed the first book he has here on the desk. I'll have to hold for it in a second. The criminal record of the pharmaceutical industry, and it's truly shocking. It took me an hour to read out. And they were fined hundreds of millions of dollars, and GlaxoSmithKline were fined the biggest fine in history, $1.2 billion there a few years ago. They pay the fine. Like, they can write a check for this and carry on doing the same thing, selling drugs they never had tested properly on humans, right? And the BS put out about it costs so much to put a drug on the market, that figure is their total figure of everything they've spent on drugs going back 50 years. But I worked inside Pharma, and one of them, I know how they work. And they will also, for instance, sell $1,500 to a GP's practice, general practitioner's practice, for coffee mornings. And what the doctors do, who are joint criminals with them, is, and even though I have three doctors in my extended family, they have coffee mornings in the local church hall with women who are very happy their children were vaccinated, and they're there to reassure other mothers, this is hunky-dory, this is okay. Well, the coffee mornings cost about $300, the rest goes in their pocket. But that kind of barefaced bribery is going on on a shocking scale.
Yeah. Absolutely. My second book, Erase, was the first time I have ever written fiction. And as I was writing it, I kept thinking, where is this coming from?
An analogy.
Yeah, it's a murder mystery, it's a political thriller, And I am shocked that I've had about 8 different reviews that have compared it to Atlas Shrugged, 1984, Michael Crichton's State of Fear. And the point of it is, I have 5 different characters. One's a teacher, one is a TV preacher, one is an activist, one is head of a publishing firm, and one is a graffiti bandit who keeps writing things on walls at night and shaking people up. You know, he's got certain messages he puts out. There's a whole reason for that. And they're all finding that there is this force in the world that is, you know, changing the country and literally erasing our past. One of the things is they're using e-books to, like Kindles and so forth, and replacing printed books. And with the teacher discovers that they're changing the books, they're changing history, they're eliminating our history, and that's kind of the premise of the book. So
very good. Can I warn you about something? I do this to everybody. I'm about to publish the first book soon. It's going to have to be an e-book to get some trickling money in here, you know. But yeah. I'm new to e-books. Like, I was born in 1951, so you know what age I am. And I've worked in lots of that. I worked for multinationals. I worked in civil engineering. I worked in a lot of areas. Worked, lived in 5 recessions, went broke a few times, broke up with a lot of women, and I'm still on the market. It's too late now. But one of the things that I wanted to assess, slipping my mind, beware of Amazon, a dirty trick they pull. In a controversial book like yours or mine or any of the key books that are controversial, what they do is they don't pull it, but they put it, say there's 1,400, and I was working out the other 40 minutes in the day, and say 400 times a day they put your book out of stock and they put it back in availability. Now, the author has not a clue this is going on, but I believe you can get an algorithm or an app to check that without ordering the book. But I'll talk to you off air another time about that, but it's a dirty trick. And Amazon, would you hear this, are a military-industrial contractor. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
They have developed some of the best snooping software in the world, which they sold to the NSA. And then the CIA gave them $400 million to Jeff Bezos, who owns the Washington Post, to cooperate with them. And it is an insidious group. They and PayPal, and I'll link it into something else that I'm doing work on for this book. Most people know what bailout means. I'm coming to the debt thing now, this shocking, crippling thing. Everybody has a noose around their neck with debt, which is designed to entrap us.
Yeah. Yeah.
But everybody knows what bailout means, like the appalling, obscene carry-on in 2008, the trillions of dollar bailout of the banks, which should have been allowed to go broke. That's bailout. Bail-in is legal in America, the European Union, and in Britain. And then the next trash, which we're very close to, like it should have happened, like Peter Schiff tells the truth, but even he, who was an expert analyst of that, Gerald Celente and people like that, the next crash, they've stated it. In the European Union, the ECB, Britain, they will use the instrument of bail-in, which means they close the bank. They don't even have to close the banks to it. They'll slice your account by 10, 15, 20%. They took 35% off the accounts in Cyprus, in the bust in Greece and Cyprus.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
So most people, and Dave Hodges is saying that too on his program, Common Sense Show. He used to be on this network, but for reasons he left. But warning people, only keep the minimum in your bank account, even though it might be affecting your credit rating, because in the next bust, they will slice and dice your account. And God forbid that we do go to what's part of my effort at the moment, to go to a cashless society. We'll have no defense at all on that. At the stroke of a keyboard, they can absolutely, they won't be sending you a tax demand. They'll just take it, right?
Yeah. Take it whatever they want. They take it, They decide and that you owe them and take it,
But all these things, in fairness to your average person who's waking up to this, the other thing I say, and it's very easy for me to say this, but I said it to, who was it the other night? I was interviewing in his program. Oh, yeah. Well, very good. Harvey Schlanger was on John Stapleton's program. You know Harvey Schlanger? You know where he is of the... think of the organizations yet, but he was saying about this entire debacle, and I was saying you have to give people methods of fighting this in anything, like you lecturing people. You have to finish off by giving them 5 or 10 ways that people, even their small little lives, can fight this, and you have to do it. And
that's my whole focus on things. We were, for years, we were saying, listen to me about this. Finally, I started getting notes from people saying, okay, I get it. What do I do about it? And I jokingly said, gee, I don't know. I never got that far before. But I really started focusing at that point in creating tools that people can use. And on our website at AmericanPolicy.org, we've got all kinds of tools there, articles and things that people can use to fight back.
Well, hang on to that, and after this is the last break, but hang on to that, and you give us all the details of that after the break. We just a short run, and then we're finished. But hang on there, and we'll be back after this break, so that's okay.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on. And learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Last few minutes of this hour, and we've been talking to Tom DeWeese for the last 2 hours, and it's been a blast. He's been running at a very fast pace, which is exactly what I wanted to grow this. But as I say, next time you're on, I'll give you the 3 hours, Tom, next time you come on, because prepare stuff. There's a massive amount of work to be done on this subject, and it's always a pretty central part of what I do, hitting on Agenda 21 on this program. But you give us your website and then title that book again. Tell me I was wrong, yeah?
Right. It's AmericanPolicy.org is the website. And, now Tell Me I Was Wrong is available there, the book I wrote on these various issues. And also my new book, my current book, Erase, which is the political novel. And I've had a lot of people tell me with that, with the race, that even though they've read lots of policy papers and books on these issues, when I put it in the fictional form like that, they understood it better. So that's, I think we had a different kind of tool there to work with. I hope to do some more.
People need to be told things in storylines. That's amazing. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think, I guess it's just easier to picture it all. But we have a couple of things. We've got a manual on Agenda 21 that has all kinds of the details in there. And we've got a little booklet, which I call the Cliff Notes version, called a Special Report Agenda 21 and How to Stop It. And you can actually download it for free off the website if you want to. And so we've really worked on these things.
Very good. What's the net title of the manual? You're saying the manual there to analyze Agenda 21. Is that what it's about?
Yeah, it's called Agenda 21, The Wrenching Transformation of America, is the title of it.
Very good. That deserves a website of its own. That's an important point. Now, I'll contact you in the week, and if you send a copy of that book, to John Stadtmiller. I'm sure he'll put this information up on the website as well for you.
We're gonna make it available so that organizations and groups and companies like yours and stuff can actually profit from it. I believe in that.
That was in the back of my mind. Yeah, very, very, very good. What's its selling price on Amazon? What's the list price of that?
They're both $20.
Yeah, sure.
Approximately.
Sure.
Yeah.
The other thing Amazon are doing at the extreme end of things, to knock the living hell out of the remaining retail book suppliers. Like, we have Waterstones in Britain, which is a great bookshop owned by a Russian guy who's very committed to books. I was in a store there recently getting his stuff for young kids. But he has dropped the price of some books 99 pence. I mean, just as a method of warfare. That's just outrageous. But at least with e-books, you can name your price £6-7, and you get £3 or £4 a book off it. But I hope to be on an e-book and then on a paperback by the middle of the year. Okay, and I have 5 books to do on fracking, SSRIs, depression, and I'm forgetting the titles myself in the next few years. But it's a mighty battle. But there we are, music. Well, I'm extremely grateful for you for giving up Saturday night.
Thank you.
You have a wife waiting for you there, yeah?
No, I do not. My wife passed away recently.
Neither do I. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. Now, I'm going to have a breakfast now. It's 6 a.m. or it's 5. It's about 5 a.m. here. But thank you very much indeed, and I'll talk to you very soon. But thank you very much indeed for coming on. It's been terrific.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder, and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully, there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.